Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we have the commanding officer of the Naval Air Station in Fallon. Randy Thompson has the explanation.
We'll be talking to Captain Michael Glacier, who's going to explain why there's a naval base in the middle of the desert.
Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Marilyn York, Larry Mathias, and George Jocelyn. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers. Brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Van Dine & Sons Roofing has some great news for you. You can save an average of 20% on your home heating and cooling by doing one simple thing. Have Van Dine & Sons insulate your attic with Owens Corning fiberglass insulation. It's blown directly into your attic. Imagine saving 20% per month on your heating and cooling all year long. And by cutting your energy use, you're helping the environment. Van Dine & Sons put on my new roof and insulated my attic too. Call 358-7621 for more information.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, just 10 minutes east of Sparks. We're proud that Walmart and other Fortune 500 companies have chosen Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to relocate their businesses. We have sites from under 5 acres to well over 500 acres, and with all of the amenities that every successful corporation requires. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, and we're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Captain Michael Glazer. He's the CO at the Naval Air Station at Fallon. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Continuing a long tradition of having base commanders on the program. You've been in charge there since 29th of June 2007. Let me ask you this. First of all, a lot of people really are not aware, especially in Southern Nevada, of what goes on in Fallon and how it's one of the premier facilities in the nation. Would you just give us a brief explanation of what you guys do out there?
I'd be happy to. It's Fallon's what we call a gem as far as the Navy goes. It's we do all the graduate level aviation training in Fallon. I think what most people are familiar with is we're the home of Top Gun. They moved up here in 1996 as part of the Base Realignment Commission. The primary command on the base is the Naval Strike and Air Warfare Center, and their mission is to train every air wing in the Navy before it goes on deployment to make sure that they have the skills, tactics, and techniques that they need to succeed over in combat.
And you're talking to go on to aircraft carriers?
To go on to aircraft carriers. So before an air wing can deploy, they have to get the stamp of approval from NSOC. So somewhere between 4 or 5 times a year, an entire carrier air wing, approximately 1,400 folks, will set up in Fallon for 4 to 5 weeks and go through training up there. And it's we'll put them through actually a lot harder scenarios than they'll ever see in combat. And it's one of those things, especially if you find yourself in a unique situation, it pays off all kinds of dividends. When I brought my squadron up through Fallon in 2001, when I was a squadron commanding officer, at the time we were doing Southern Watch in support of Iraq, and we expected, you know, that's where we would go. It was an established theater. It would be a fairly routine deployment. Well, just as we were getting ready to enter the Straits of Hormuz, September 11th happened, and all of a sudden we were expected to support operations in Afghanistan, a brand new theater, one we had never trained for. But we were able to take the lessons that we learned up in NAS Fallon and apply them directly to that situation. And when the order came down, we were ready to support the mission that we had to do.
And would you describe that mission?
Well, obviously for the air wing, it was supporting Operation Enduring Freedom, going after the Taliban infrastructure at that time. For my squadron in particular, I'm a helicopter pilot by trade, we supported combat search and rescue operations. For the most part, we were responsible for if someone were to either go down in Pakistan or over the water, we would pick them up. But in the Special Forces helicopters that were forward deployed in Pakistan were responsible for going ahead and picking anyone up who went down over Afghanistan. But on Special Forces being what we call high demand, low supply type asset, is they were directed to go ahead and fulfill other missions. We ended up between my squadron and an East Coast squadron that was also sitting off the coast sending helicopters into Pakistan, and for a while we picked up the combat search and rescue mission over the southern part of Afghanistan at the time as well.
As part of your training, does it just take away all the emotions so that when you're involved in a situation like that, you're just thinking about the mission and you're not thinking about what the ramifications might be?
Well, and actually, it's that goes to a lot of it. It's I don't want to say you go in auto mode. You're thinking about everything that's going on. It's when September 11th happened, nobody was expecting it. It's over in the Gulf. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were getting CNN, but it was kind of spotty. And, I mean, the initial indications were we thought an aircraft had hit one of the World Trade Center's towers, and it was an accident or something like that. And once the second aircraft went in, we realized it wasn't. It was something nobody was explaining. There was a lot of things going on since we didn't know what the threat was at the time. Actually, I controlled not only combat search and rescue helicopters, but anti-submarine helicopters as well. Since we weren't sure who the enemy was, we were actually putting warshots on the helicopter's torpedoes in case there was a submarine threat, which is the first time that had happened in my career. It took a while for things to sort out, and at that point, it was sitting down, talking to everybody in the squadron, and explaining to them that the most important thing that we could do at that time was focus on the mission. And especially in a helicopter squadron, our mission is, you know, saving lives of the other pilots and things like that. And it's, if we do our mission right, it's we have the possibility of going out there and bringing somebody back to the fight.
A lot of civilians find it odd to have a naval base in the middle of a desert. I mean, it's like, why not be on the ocean? What are the benefits of having a naval base in Fallon and in the middle, really, of the desert?
Well, the history of the base goes back to the Second World War. We were established as a training base then, and then we shuttered down after the war was over, and we were reestablished as a Navy auxiliary airfield during the Korean conflict. But primarily, why the base is here is we have 4 target ranges where we can drop anything up to a 2,000-pound bomb on, and we control about 12.5 million acres of airspace over northern Nevada. We can do training here that we cannot replicate anywhere else because we have that airspace and those target ranges. And because the population is fairly thin, we don't impact that many people. It's 12.5 million acres of airspace, but less than 500 people live under that airspace. But it's tough, especially when you explain to a young sailor who comes to Fallon as her first duty station. This isn't exactly what they pictured when they were joining the Navy, but I mean, we try to make sure that they can learn the skills that they need to succeed in the Navy and assure them that yes, you will be seeing the ocean at some time.
At some point.
It's no
career.
San Diego. Huh?
Let's take a break. More with Captain Glazer when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Captain Michael Glazer. He is the commanding officer of the Naval Air Station at Fallon.
You need more tea.
I think so.
Well, you can't have a military interview and not talk about Fort Hood. And just looking at it, was this an enemy combatant that just infiltrated, or was it just a psychiatrist that just gone bad?
Well, it's one of those things. Obviously, what happened down at Fort Hood was a tragedy, and our sympathy goes right out to all the families that were involved with that. It's an ongoing investigation right now. I'm sure as they go through and get all the facts, we're going to find out exactly what happened down there, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment on it at this time while that's happening.
Yeah, let's talk about your mission. Your mission is to train people to fly F-18s in combat and off aircraft carriers. But now you have a whole new thing. Your friend Roy Rogers, who's going to be on the program in a couple of weeks, started the whole program down in Southern Nevada for the drones. And they have just been so important in Afghanistan and Iraq. How do you see this going? Because, I mean, it's not just that they can fly and see, but also that they can, you know, use pinpoint weaponry.
They can use weaponry. I think one of the other things that you can get out of the latest generation of UAVs is persistent coverage. You can put them up there for a long time without having to worry about fatigue that you get with aircrew or anything like that. I mean, one of the things that we do at Fallon is we keep looking at, you know, what kind of platforms are we going to be using 20 to 30 years down the road to make sure that the base and the ranges can be able to support that. One of the issues with UAVs is we're still having, on the military side, we're using them a lot, but on the civilian side, we're still trying to figure out, well, how do we deal with them? The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has a lot of restrictions on the use of unmanned aerial vehicles, and that really makes it difficult for us sometimes to be able to employ them. In fact, we've gone to the lengths where we've actually used manned aircraft to simulate the use of drones so we can get around some of those restrictions. I think it's one of those things you're going to see us using them more and more. We're going to have to work with the FAA on some of those restrictions that they presently have and try to figure out how we can work around them while still staying in within those rules. But, I mean, ultimately, one of the things that the Navy's looking at is, you know, you're not going to have an all-manned air wing at some point in the future. You're going to see more and more UAVs out there.
Are you finding resistance among pilots?
And that's an interesting question. In the back of your mind, you don't ever want to think about being replaced or anything like that. But they also realize it's another tool in the kit. Mm-hmm. And people want to have the most advanced platforms that they can have out there. So in the back of your mind, you're saying, well, you know, nobody seeing us in controls can fly that aircraft as well as I can. But you also realize sometimes it makes more sense to send an unmanned vehicle out there than it does a manned. manned one.
Well, there's still a person driving it, even though they're in Creech, but but you still have a person that's actually
you still have a person doing it. But it's one of those things. It's the difference between playing a video game and actually flying something. There's something to be said about having the feel for the aircraft. It's a lot easier to recall something with a human in it as opposed to an unmanned one. I think there's strengths and weaknesses in both. I think the strengths for unmanned vehicles are only going to increase as the technology develops. And who knows, one day they may, you know, end up taking the man out in the cockpit. But it's also one of those things, it's perceptions. Would you feel comfortable flying in an aircraft that somebody was flying from on the ground, even if you could show statistically that you can do it just as well?
Well, did you see the 60 Minutes piece that they ran a few weeks ago that was on the UAV program? And the people who are flying these drones, they are under just as much stress as a regular pilot because they're providing support. They're talking to people on the ground. It's not just we're flying the plane and no big deal. I mean, they're under, you know, they get to go home at night, but for the 8 hours that they're on duty, it's a stressful situation.
Oh, no, and I don't want it. It's, you know, when I said playing a video game, it was probably taking it too light. No, there are important decisions that they're making, and obviously, it's especially if it's an armed UAV, their life and death decisions that they're going to have to make. There are rules of engagement that they have to follow. They have to run those up the chain of command. The point you made before is actually a very good one because, you know, you're working with somebody on the ground. They're demanding support, but you still are running the same issues that you run in a manned aircraft with following the rules of engagement, having to get permission to employ weapons and things like that. So they are, but it's one of those things. It's the difference between the time when I'm flying a simulator and flying the aircraft. There are things you'll do in the simulator when you're not in the aircraft because it's the same risks just aren't there.
It's not life and death.
It's not life. Well, it's not your life in death. Yeah. I mean, there's still pressure on you, but that to me is the big difference between the two. I can do things in the simulator that I know I can't do in the aircraft because the same little twinge in the back of your mind is if I goon this up in real life, I'm running a bigger risk for not only myself and my crew, but in the simulator, well, let's see if I can actually pull this thing out or not.
And that's where we got to leave it. Pleasure to have you on the program. Please come back.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Murrieta's Restaurant and Cantina offers the greatest Mexican food, now with two locations, one at 3060 Vista Boulevard in Sparks, the other on South Virginia in Reno, right next to In-N-Out Burger. Enjoy two-for-one drink specials from 3 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and 99-cent tacos from 2 to 5 p.m. Mexican and American-style breakfast is served on weekends beginning at 10 a.m., and their chorizo and eggs for just $4.99 is the best deal in town. Murrieta's, the best Mexican food this side of the border.
We're having our huge inventory clearance, and this year it's even bigger. You'll find our entire inventory is 25 to 50% off. And through November, take an extra 20% off all green dotted items. This extraordinary offer is available on all bedroom, dining, living room furniture, accessories, and rugs. Imagine our entire showroom 25 to 50% off, plus green dotted items an extra 20% off. If you've been looking for unbelievable deals or a special piece for the holidays, now's the time to visit Ennis during our huge inventory clearance.
Everyone's got their own way of saving lives.
Bacon's not a food group. Neither is booze.
Hey! Okay.
Some with candor, others with courage.
We'll save him. I promise.
But there's one thing you can count on.
Get the paddles on him now!
There's always drama at Mercy Hospital. Especially when the Real Housewives show up.
You are ridiculous.
You're lucky I just got my acrylics done. Otherwise, I'd kill you. Got your feelings hurt?
New Mercy, tonight at 8, 7 Central on NBC.
Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep is Northern Nevada's newest Jeep dealer. For all your off-road fun and adventure, Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep has the selection you want and the value you need. Now, during the year-end wrap-up event, drive off in a 2010 Jeep Wrangler 4x4, called the most capable off-road vehicle sold in America, for only $23,620. Or choose the 2010 Jeep Patriot 4x4 for only $22,435. Or choose 0% for 48 months. Wrap it up nicely in a new Jeep at Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Carson City, where cars, trucks, and Jeeps really do cost less. Thank you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Larry Mathias is here. He's the executive director for the Nevada State Medical Association, attorney Marilyn York, and George Jocelyn, vice president for development for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Welcome to all of you. So, Larry, New York Times, major story today. It's actually two major stories, really. One, in a turnabout from long-held advice, a federal advisory panel has recommended that women without unusual cancer risks should not begin regular screening for breast cancer until age 50, not 40, and that women age 50 to 74 should have mammograms every 2 years rather than every year. And in perhaps the most surprising advisory, the doctors should stop advising women to regularly examine their own breasts. I don't think that's the big story. I think the big story is right next to it, where it says doctors for the most part said they would not start telling women to delay mammograms despite the new recommendations, and many doctors said they were simply not ready to make such a drastic change. I've experienced this with my doctors in terms of my heart, and when stories come out. I think the last one was vitamin E doesn't do anything to help the heart. I went to the cardiologist. He said, no, keep taking it. A year later, he said, yeah, you don't need to take that anymore. Your thoughts?
Well, the problem with these kind of radical changes based on new formulas is that there's a break-in period. What they're trying to do is they're trying to balance the previous preference, which was, if you've got any doubt at all, screen. And that way we can find if there is an anomaly that might become cancer, and that you're going to have early intervention, early treatment. What they're trying to do in this case, I gather, is to balance that with how often it's not going to be a positive, and how to come up with risk factors so that you're really targeting women more likely to actually use it. What they did was they just dropped this bomb without laying the groundwork, yeah, without talking to the cancer community, and that's both the professionals and the people who have had cancer. How is this going to sell? How is this going to be heard? They had a really thin ear. And that leads you to other kinds of conclusions, like, is this being done because of the costs associated with those screenings? That this is a rationing kind of step. Well, if it means that some women who would have lived because of early intervention will not because it'll be a late discovery, then you've made a really difficult turn in the road. And it will be viewed as a rationing choice. So when these things happen, and they're going to happen much, much faster under the current obsession with national standards, with measurable outcomes and all of that, that we're going to have this in a lot of these key areas, they're going to have to do a much better job of communicating, of setting the table, of being clear about things than they were on this.
Are they saying, though, that having a mammogram actually causes radiation, could cause cancer? I mean, the whole idea of not doing a self-breast exam is ridiculous, because I know of too many women that have found lumps that have turned out to be cancer. But to not have a mammogram, is there some ramification in that?
There is. You are being exposed, okay, to a certain amount of radiation. But again, this is really looking at the other side of the equation of mammography in a way that hasn't been done before. And that's why it's such a controversial step. It's not that they're necessarily wrong in the factors they're considering, but they certainly were wrong in the way they communicated it. And I think at this point, if any woman has any doubt or question, she should consult with her physician and work together on dealing with it.
Well, what's your response on first hearing this?
I find the fact that they say don't do self-breast exams the most suspicious part, because certainly that would lead to you going into your doctor's office and saying, I think I have a lump, and then that would lead to a mammogram or some sort of exploration. It feels like a cost-saving mechanism to me, and that is the big indicator to me. If it were just simply that the research shows that this is an unnecessary thing we're doing and exposure to radiation is an issue, why not say do more self-breast exams, yeah, so you can be more self-aware and more cautious at home so that you can go get the help that you may need. If they're telling you not to do them, to me it feels like a cost-saving thing, and the risks are too high, and it's, why wouldn't to do a self-breast exam. That's absurd.
Well, your mom's a survivor. My mom's a survivor.
Twice over?
Yeah.
And I mean, I concur with both Marilyn and Larry. I think Larry has positioned it correctly in that what you have is a situation where, just like anything else in life, you have a situation where you're on one side and another opinion comes out. It's drastically on the opposite side. And the goal, of course, is to try to come somewhere back into the middle. And I think really and truly what's happened is as Larry stated so eloquently, is that they rushed the information out. They didn't vet it through some of the necessary other areas of the community. For example, cancer physicians, cancer patients, cancer survivors. My mom is twice removed. I would have much preferred having to deal with a false positive than not have knowing and have lost my mom.
Okay, I want to just change topics here, and we'll have to do this fairly rapidly here. Anjanette Damon reporting this morning that the governor, if he goes into a special session, might try to change the law that on student assessments to allow us to qualify for Race to the Top funds. Does this surprise you?
I wouldn't say it surprises me, but I think it. If we can get more funds, it would be great. Education is very important, and if we're not in line to get those funds, it can be a big deal.
Well, we're one of three states right now that don't allow any kind of merit or pay for a performance.
And the good news is, and Lynn Warney will be here on the program next week, is that the teachers union look like they're willing to go along with some changes.
Yes, I think that's probably wise. There's a certain amount of politics involved in this, but I think there's also just that the stimulus funds have not helped Nevada very much yet.
And if this comes out this way, this will look good for the governor.
I think so, and I think, again, anything that can be done, even if it's a short-term proposition to help us access some of the funding right now, let's also keep in mind if there's only three states not eligible to it, are the other two states ahead of us in education? Because right now we're on the bottom level.
And that's where you got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you have back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, tendonitis, any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness at all, you finally have a safe, effective relief. Dr. Frank's homeopathic joint and muscle pain relief.
I had a lot of fear that I would be crippled at a very young age. It was a miracle that I found something safe and that had such dramatic pain relief.
Dr. Frank's is all natural. Just spray here and stop all your pain everywhere. For the first time ever, these 10 homeopathic ingredients have been combined in a revolutionary oral spray that stops inflammation, pain, and stiffness.
I pretty much quit tennis just because of the pounding. Since using this spray, my pain and tenderness and swelling and soreness and stiffness has gone.
If you have any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness, Dr. Frank's joint and muscle pain relief is the safe, all-natural relief you've been searching for.
I have no pain in my knees, no sciatica, and I'm pain-free.
I'm Dr. Ken Frank. I'm a medical doctor. There is a safe way to stop your pain, and I guarantee that your daily aches and pains, whether mild or severe, will stop or significantly decrease with this formula.
Start living your life pain-free. Try safe, effective Dr. Frank's risk-free. Call now and get a 200-spray trial bottle for only $19.95.
It was as though someone has given me an electric shock that went up the arm, and I could not do that. Now, I can't get that pain no matter how far I turn my arm. And now I'm playing tennis again.
Call now and spray away your pain in days. Call now for your risk-free trial bottle of Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief. Ask how to double the supply for free. And also ask how to get for free Dr. Frank's 100-page book about natural and safe pain relief without drugs.
Call now. 1-800-572-9269. 1-800-572-9269. That's 1-800-572-9269.
Dr. Frank's pain relief really works.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Coming up tomorrow will be Kim Wallen, our state controller, talking about stimulus funds.
And the ever-coy George Harris, publisher of Liberty Watch magazine. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.